Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSafety.com.
Excuse me, sir. I'm looking for a job. In fact, I've made up my mind to find a career that I can learn and grow into. Who am I? I'm a hard worker. I set high goals, and I've been told that I'm persistent. Now, I'm not fooling myself, sir. Having been raised with the self-esteem movement so popular in schools, I used to expect my needs to be considered. But I know that today's work culture no longer caters to the job loyalty that could be promised to earlier generations. What I believe, sir, is that good things come to those who work their asses off, and that good people, such as yourself, who reached the top of the mountain, didn't just fall there. My motto is, if you want to win the lottery, you have to make the money to buy a ticket. You have to make the money to buy a ticket. You have to make the money to buy a ticket!
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Mayor Rick Kreisman, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on Radio StPete.com. Phone line, text line, voicemail line is open, 813-693-2124. HMBRadio.com is the website. Very special edition of the Homemade Broadcast this week because it's what they call a swap cast. I believe I'm doing it correctly. It's where you record a podcast and you're lazy and you play it on two different RSS feeds. That's pretty much what it is. But we tried to do it in a fun way this week. Scott Harrell from Creative Loafing Tampa, he's the new editor-in-chief of that paper here, the Alt-Weekly. That's all around the county. You can always pick up a print version. Visit them at cltampa.com. Just stopping by, you know, say hey, talk about what's the new haps with the paper and with his new position, what's the future going to bring, and, you know, and then I kind of talk to him and tell him what I'm doing, and it was a fun time. I'm producing their podcast now, cltampa.com/podcast, and if you need help with your podcast, if you're a business or an individual, I can help. Visit homemadepodcasts.com. I'll be happy to help you. You can give me a call at 813-693-2124. Leave a voicemail, and I will give you a shout back if you're interested in that. This podcast is brought to you by Tap House 61, my good buddy Joe down there, 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Pete. Wednesday night's trivia night. Everybody loves trivia, and they got the best one in St. Pete, if I may be so bold. That's right, they do. Bar tabs. You win bar tabs and stuff, so you can go and get drunk and, you know, play some trivia. And maybe do it for free if you're smart enough. 2061 Central Avenue, taphouse61.com, facebook.com/taphouse, the number 6, the number 1, and you'll find it right there. Truvy Salon and Spa. That's right, Chrissy Parker, cutting hair, doing nails, whatever spa treatments are going on. Botox, I saw Botox ladies coming. So if you want to shoot your face full of poison to get the wrinkles out, that's the place to do it if you ask me. 8908 4th Street North. Visit Truvy Salon. That's T-R-U-V as in victory. Y, salonandspa.com. Make an appointment there. And tell her I sent you, would you? Thanks. And obviously, homemadepodcast.com. I can help if you want a podcast done. That's my thing. Homemadepodcasts.com. Scott Harrell, Creative Loafing Tampa beer shortly. But earlier this week, there was a story that popped up in Bradenton here locally. A young lady, high school age girl, 17, got sunburnt and wore a shirt that I guess her nipples were kind of protruding from her shirt. And, of course, this became a national story because we're an outrage culture and everybody gets upset about everything. And New York Times picked it up and some lady wrote a story called, "Is Your Body Appropriate to Wear to School?" I have mixed emotions about this story because, it's her body. What are you going to do? But she's also 17. She's at school. Should there be some sort of uniform of decorum? You know, I mean, they're making the argument that breasts are not sexual in this New York Times article. Yeah, they are. They're the number one thing that men are gunning for. Yeah, and I'm sorry that's the case, but ladies, it just is. It's a biological thing. I'm sorry. You can't unteach that. So I don't know. I've saw some of that. We need to teach boys better. You can't teach boys to not listen to their physiological detriments and things that they like. You know, sorry. I mean, again, sorry. I apologize. I wish it wasn't that way, but it is. And women grew breasts, you know, obviously to feed babies, but also because when we walked up on two legs, you used to just kind of go after the butt. So they grew butts on their chest to draw in potential mates. Sorry. I mean, again, you know, don't blame us. So it's nothing you can teach. I saw a few of those, some of my journalist friends on Twitter. Need to teach boys better. But also, Americans in general are pretty uptight about this whole thing, about sexuality in general. So, I have mixed emotions. I don't think it's a big deal. I love it, personally. If you see a young lady walking around with her nips out, sounds good to me. I'm all for that. But also, you are at school, and you know, it's not supposed to be a distraction. This New York Times article also, too, initially reported that the person who told her to cover up was a man, and they later had to correct that because it was, in fact, a lady. That's interesting. What do you think? 813-693-2124. Let me know what you think. That's you can leave a text message there or a voicemail. I don't know. I mean, I have mixed emotions about it. I see both sides of the argument here, and I don't know. School uniforms, that's an option too, but I don't really like that either, because then you're just kind of making everybody one thing, and it goes back to that hive mind thing, and that seems, I like individuality, so I don't know. What do you think? 813-693-2124. Scott Harrell from Creative Loafing Tampa is here this week with a little swap cast action, so make sure you subscribe to this podcast if you haven't. That's at hmbradio.com. You can find it there. And iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast, just search for HMB Radio Tampa Bay. HMB Radio should be enough. You can pull it up. Subscribe. Give it a rating while you're there. It only takes a second. Really helps us out. And I'm very much appreciative of that fact that you do that. Scott Harrell, Creative Loafing Tampa. Let's get to it. All right, welcome to the, I guess we're going to brand this, a Swapcast, cltampa.com podcast and hmbradio.com. My name is Will Kuntz. I am from Stay Woke on 102.5 The Bone here at midnight and the sole proprietor of hmbradio.com, a all-inclusive Tampa Bay arts, life, and music podcast. And I'm here with editor-in-chief Scott Harrell from cltampa.com.
Hello. Hey, thanks for having me.
Excellent. It's what do you think of the new place, new studio?
I really like the new place. Like you were saying, you can't put the bluegrass band around the board anymore.
Yeah, but, it's a shame. And I got all the, look at this freaking mixer. It's got all these inputs on it that I could just plug people like, guitars.
Feed me inputs.
It's really a shame. It's a bummer. But Radio St. Pete keeps talking about they might get a studio, which that would be cool, because then I could actually have a living room and put a couch and a TV maybe in here. I don't want to get too fancy.
You're gonna sell out?
Sell out, totally.
Just completely,
yes.
Sell out.
Oh, my gosh. As soon as I can, I'm gunning for it, for sure. So, Scott, you took over. You had a shakeup a few weeks ago with Creative Loafing Tampa. It was purchased by another entity, and you became the new editor-in-chief. Tell us about how that went down.
Yeah, it was a very bittersweet sort of situation. The CL Tampa's old parent company, Southcom, had been wanting to divest itself of its alternative weeklies and concentrate on their B2B, their business publications, which are the consistent moneymakers out there still in the publishing world as publishing gets smaller and smaller. And we were bought by a really progressive outfit out of Cleveland called Euclid Media Group. Seemed like really good guys who own a lot of alternative media, alternative news weeklies all over the country that are performing very well. They seem to know what they're doing and want to support what we're doing. But they have a budget and a vision for running at a certain level. And so there were layoffs as part of the purchase, which always seems to happen in print media these days. And we lost, on the editorial side, we lost my boss and mentor, former editor-in-chief David Warner, and news and politics editor Kate Bradshaw, as well as our creative director, art director, Julio Ramos, was also let go, as well as a few other people. And it was a difficult thing, you know. I was offered the chance to stay, and I figured that in the interest of continuity and in sort of keeping the voice of the paper, you know, I've been there a long time, that I would stay. And even though we're losing some people, it was an opportunity for me to step into a new role, a larger role.
How do you think the publication is going to change now that you're kind of running the show?
It's obviously going to change organically a little bit. The paper always seems to shift a little bit when a new editor comes. Some people have a grand vision for change. I don't really. I've been very happy at the paper for a really long time. I think David did a wonderful job. So it's hard to tell how it's going to shake out. We're still finding our footing and learning to work with a diminished team. If anything, I really don't want to lose the hard news that we do bring, and we're gonna have to find a way to keep that up. But I do think there will be more, maybe a little more playfulness, a little more fun coverage. And when I first started working in all weeklies before Gawker and stuff like that, we were the bringers of snark before that sort of stuff happened. And I hope to maybe bring back a little bit more of that to the paper, maybe call out some people and have fun, but also maybe get in a little trouble.
I noticed for a while there, I still pick up CL whenever I see it, you know, in a newsstand. I pick up a actual paper.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are actually doing that now? And is the print still going to be a viable thing, or is it eventually just going to transfer over into digital media?
I think it'll go in. If what's come before us and what other alt-weeklies have done are any indication, print will probably disappear eventually, but it'll be iterative. We'll, at some point, we may go to every other week instead of weekly, and then maybe, you know, Creative Living Atlanta is now a monthly paper. I want to keep a print product as long as I can because I grew up with it, but I do know that Euclid's focus is web.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely where they want to apply most of their resources.
Well, it's funny, too, because we're kind of in the same boat with, you know, you're doing media, print media, I'm doing radio,
mm-hmm.
but I'm also doing the podcasting as well, which I don't know if it's the evolution of radio, but it's certainly, they're related, obviously. They're the same format, but they just live in different places. And I'm not sure, I would want to say that people that are in charge over where I work know what's coming and are going to be able to predict the future, but it also seems to just be so up in the air. And I wonder what's going to happen with radio in the future. I know there's places in Europe. I think Finland has stopped all FM broadcasts.
Oh, really?
Entirely.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. So it all lives online. And now with people having you know, hotspots in their car, my boss has a hotspot right in his car that's connected to the net. And you don't even really need that. I mean, most places you can get unlimited data on your phone. And I wonder how it's going to change. So with yours, for example, like I was thinking with podcasts, you have to, that's why I want to build a network, because you can kind of get a lot of different voices, they didn't hear them in one place. I think that's the next thing, or it's already happening now. So with yours, too, with your company that owns you, they own a multitude of different byproducts, right?
Yeah, but it's more geographically sorted than I would say radio is. I mean, obviously, radio only reaches a certain... The waves only go so far.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that with radio going to online, I feel like there's a more threat of homogenization than with print media, because print media is so, newspapers are so locally based, mm-hmm. you know. And when the radio lost that call-in show, request line vibe that it had for so long, that's when I really started to fear that radio was not going to be serving the community, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
You know, but I do think that's definitely allegorical. Radio to podcast and print media to web, there are definitely parallels there and definitely similar. But I agree. I don't think anybody knows what's really going to happen. They said when I first started working for Creative Loafing in 2001, they were saying newspapers were dead. You know, and
they're still around.
That was 12 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a long time for established technologies to be usurped by emerging technologies. And I don't think anything's going to come along and save either one of these media, but I don't know what's really going to, I don't think they're going to completely go away.
Well, the thing with where we're similar to and what we're doing is that you serve the community. You serve the Tampa Bay region. That's what I also try to do. And that's what local radio does as well. It's great with podcasts. I can hear, you know, Bill Burr, who I love, right. You know, I can hear his podcast whenever I want, but I also like the idea of having someone here in town that you can kind of bounce off of personalities, just having that homegrown feeling that can tell you what's going on in the community.
Yeah, absolutely. My greatest fear for lack of a better term, terrestrial radio, when and if it shifts digital, is it's just a stream of the 10 most popular songs. Like, no, you're here in Tampa, Florida, or you're here in Jacksonville, Florida, you're here in Savannah, Georgia. It's just the same music that somebody thinks somebody wants to hear over and over and over again. So it's really important that no matter what happens in either medium, that you don't lose that sense of community. And I think that's the stations and the papers and the people that are going to survive are the people that are committed to local.
Yeah. I kind of feel like, too, that's the way it's always been. You're letting program directors choose what airs on your station. I mean, I guess there's like 97X here who gets a lot of these bands early that end up being pretty famous. There's, what's that one? The two dudes, white dudes, are kind of rappers, but they're not.
21 Pilots?
21 Pilots. 97X was on them really early here, and they played a bunch of free shows and stuff like that, and then all of a sudden they went national. So I guess there still is people doing that, but it seems like it gets really depressing because I'll walk by the studios because we got a cluster. We got, you know, Hot, 97X, whatever. So you walk by these studios on the bones all the way on the end, and you look in each studio, and there's nobody in there.
Oof.
It's just all automated, all computers now.
Yeah, that is depressing.
It's a bleak future because I'm like, this is what I want to do for a career, and it looks like computers can just do my job now. Do you ever worry about that with print somehow? Because I know, you know, my friends work for, some of them do freelance writing blog posts and get paid $10 or whatever each one, and they do, you know, 10 a day. Does that concern you at all?
I am not as concerned for news. There are companies out there working on technology to automatically write blog posts. They've got these bots that they're rudimentary artificial intelligence, and they try to cobble together sentences, but it's still so obviously not written by a human being.
Mm-hmm.
So if that does happen, it's going to be a while. And I feel bad that news media doesn't have the resources anymore to have lots of like people just coming out of J school that can make a living writing the freelancers, you know, because you can't really make a living as a freelancer anymore. Like you said, you're getting paid $10, $25 for a post. And that's a tough scrape, especially if you got somebody that doesn't have the resources to pay you for 10 a day.
Right.
You know, if we can pay you for 2 a day, then you got to go somewhere else to get
do the rest.
These and these and these. It's a lot of legwork for very little return. It's terrible.
I heard a story. Somebody I knew saw a guy that wrote this article, and he was kind of upset with him about what he wrote, and kind of approached him about it and questioned, you know, what's the deal? And the guy says, I don't remember that. I wrote 10 things that day. I just have to stay alive. And it's like, what the? And then it's you look at the news and everybody's saying all this fake news stuff. And I almost feel like it's kind of true because I think they're just rushing these things through just to get a paycheck. I think it's detrimental to the field itself.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely bad for the quality of news. I mean, there, you know, a reporter used to spend a week on a story, interviewing sources, research, fact-checking everything. And now, if you can spend a couple of days on a story, you're really extending yourself for a very small return. And we have people that do that. The people that work with me at Creative Loafing are dedicated to checking their facts. But these are also people who are lucky enough to still have a salary to do what they do. But there's always the pressure to produce more content.
And is that just, you know, the competition? Because any schmuck, I'm one of those schmucks that just started a website, you know, to kind of compete, you know, for attention.
Yeah, there's definitely the pressure to stay ahead of an increasingly congested news marketplace, I guess is the best way I could put it, and keep people coming back to the website. It's all about traffic,
mm-hmm.
which is a shame. You have to find that balance between quantity and quality, and that's something that I hope that we can continue to do.
Yeah, well, what I've tend to have noticed now too is that the world's pretty boring for the most part. At least your community, there's not really much that happens that is newsworthy, and I think they're desperate to find stuff. So that's where you get in trouble too, because you just cherry pick these things that probably don't deserve coverage, but get it because they have to have that time.
Yeah, not news stuff that you gotta. It's like you got to fill the paper. You take that attitude toward the web, but you can't ever fill it up. It's never going to be full.
It's an endless vacuum.
So yeah, it's you know, like suspicious guy on corner draws other guy who asks him about being on corner. That's not really a news story.
Where do you usually get your news from now? What's your main source?
I still use an RSS reader because I like to pull stuff in from. I get just pretty much every local outlet that has a website, I subscribe to their feed. And a couple of national things, Washington Post, the New York Times. But I get a lot of my news from the Tampa Bay Times, and I get a lot of my news from British papers. Like for as far as national affairs news, I get a lot of my stuff from like The Guardian. And I sometimes like to, or the BBC, I like to go outside the American media to see what the outsider's perspective is, and because a lot of times they'll take stuff with a grain of salt that a lot of American mainstream media won't.
Mm-hmm.
They just print verbatim or just try to rush to be the first one to get out there and get the scoop.
Right.
You know,
right.
And since the people in England aren't really that concerned about it, they can take a little more time and view it through a different lens. So I like to do that.
But Twitter. That's where I get mine now.
I get a lot of I glance at it a lot, and if something catches my eye, I'll click through, really no matter what the source is. And if the source opens up and it's Breitbart or whatever, I'm like, okay, forget whatever. But yeah, I keep my eye on Twitter, but my RSS feed is still more important to me than Twitter. But I understand how journalists use Twitter as a tool. It's a very, very good way to sort of let the news wash over you and grab stuff here and there, mm-hmm. you know.
How have you used social media at Creative Loafing? Because it seems I'm trying to navigate it and figure it out myself. And there's always, I mean, there's so much that I don't know, tools that I'm just not aware of. But also, you know, with Facebook, it seems just like a useless tool at this point.
It's getting worse and worse. People keep saying that Facebook's going to bow to the pressure and sort of turn the nozzle back on for press and local media. I don't know if it's going to happen. And all the time I've been working for CL, we never went out and hired the social media ninja guru, you know, show you the tricks to bring in the bucks, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of, we never really did that. We just sort of use it as a way to, as another outlet to share our stories and also to get feedback from the community. We're pretty active in responding to comments, and you know, we get in arguments with people on there just like individuals do. But I agree. I question how worthwhile it is to continue using Facebook. it seems like we're getting more traffic through Twitter, not more than Facebook, but we're getting more traffic through Twitter than we were a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And those, and I feel like that's a different sort of news consumer. It's someone who's maybe a little more savvy than someone who's just scrolling through their Facebook feed.
Instagram, too. That's another big one.
We use it a lot for marketing. Editorial, up until stories, it was really tough to use Instagram for editorial because you couldn't put a link in the post, which was incredibly frustrating.
Yeah.
But now with stories, we're using it more and more, especially with arts and culture stories, engaging people with, you know, our music editor, Ray Rowe, as always, every day there's a list of recommended shows that night. And so we'll do a story about, you know, local music to go and check out. And it's, we're doing, I really enjoy the engagement of what the hell's it called? Instagram. Jeez. An old man.
You're getting up there. But, well, don't feel so bad because I'm already lost. I'm only 30, 33.
Well, it's I think nobody really understands social media. There are very few people who use it to its optimal effect, and I'm sure there's an optimal effect if you want to set aside heart and engagement and community just to just max it out. You probably could, you know. But we get, you know, We'll put stuff on Reddit in a subreddit that's related to the topic, and that'll pop, and that's people from largely people from outside the community that just are interested in the subject. So yeah, it's really it's a murky area,
right?
And I don't think anybody's really figured it out to the best possible uses and standards. And before you do, something else will come along.
Exactly. Yeah, that seems to be the case. Now, it seemed to me, anyways, from an outside user of CL, that it primarily is a arts and entertainment magazine. However, within the past, I don't know, 6-7 years, it turned into heavily political. And there was definitely a slant there that seemed to be more one way than another. With you taking over, is that going to continue, or do you want to try to phase it out and just become an arts, you know, magazine again? Or
no, I always want to have news. When Alt Weeklies first started coming out, there were really two kinds. There were the A&E ones that were basically full of ads for shows going on in your town, and then there were the ones that were really strident and progressive and speaking truth to power and covering the stories that the local dailies weren't covering. And I think that over the years, the Alt Weekly has become the best Alt Weeklies, I think, have become a blend of those two things. And we definitely, Alt Weekly, we're not beholden to the same sort of objectivity that daily newspapers are. We practice advocacy journalism, which means we will, take a stand one way or another, and of course we're very socially progressive. That's our voice.
Mm-hmm.
But when Trump was elected, we actually had a staff meeting, and David said, "Do you guys want to sort of stay back from all the brouhaha that's going to happen surrounding this, or do you want to just sort of run at it?" And we were all like, "Let's just run at it. I mean, what's the worst thing that could happen?
You know,
we lose a couple of our more conservative readers who only read it for the concert listings."
Well, that was my next question, is are you afraid that you're going to, I mean, 50% of the country is the other way. So are you afraid of, because it seems like the end game would be to make money.
Oh, yeah.
So then you know, people get pissed and then just move on. And then you lose, you know, half the audience potentially.
We haven't really, it's readership has definitely not declined. It's either been steady or popped up, depending on the content online and in the paper. We've never lost an advertiser because of something that a news writer said. So it's really, I think that there's a certain type of person who reads the paper, and the assumption is that they're a liberal or a libertarian. But I think there are more conservative readers who just look at the news section and scowl and then go to the arts coverage.
Well, you know, it's
something for everyone.
People will, they usually read or listen or whatever because they either like you or because they don't like you.
They want to get mad. Yeah.
And it doesn't matter really which one it is, you're still getting that audience and that attention.
Yeah, there's definitely people that read us because they like to get angry and they like to troll us on Facebook. A lot of our Facebook comments have been vicious.
Yeah.
Kate, in particular, was there were definitely, you know, campaigns by local conservative, not political. I mean, I'm just talking about people, not political operatives.
Individuals, right. Yeah,
who you know, just everything she put out, they would just pile on her, you know, and God bless her. She just kept chugging along. She didn't let it get to her. And I think there are definitely people that read CL to be angry.
Sure.
And that's as long as you're reading, that's fine with me.
Well, if you're in this where you're a public figure, you got to have a thick skin. Because I hear terrible, and actually not really, honestly. I figured especially when I got on the bone, that it was going to be, I was just going to get beat up. So I was preparing myself for it. Most people are pretty nice, but every once in a while you get that one, and it just hurts my feelings, even still. But you pick up and you kind of move on. You know, you can't dwell on it too much.
Yeah, I think everybody on some level is disappointed when or hurt when somebody's like, "Why don't you just kill yourself?" I mean, that's a pretty terrible
harsh
thing to say to somebody.
Yeah. And then I get one. I talked about it on the podcast a few weeks ago, so sorry. I still think about it, but it's my ratings on iTunes. They're good. They're pretty good. You know, I got a 4.5, and I was like, what? So I look at it, and then there's one star, and it's the only one that shows up on the feed, too. And it's a gentleman named Deacon Yo Mouth, and basically just said, you know, this is stupid, this is dumb. At least I can boycott the advertisers, one star. And I know there's other ones that are nice. Like, can I get at least one more in there to kind of balance out? But that's the negative one is the only one that shows up, and you can't do anything about it. It's just, well, that's somebody rated it that. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
And you kind of just like, so I have no recourse, and then when I check my feed, I have to look at it every time. So, well done, Deacon Yo Mouth. You hurt my feelings, and I see it usually at least once a week.
You got to wonder how many advertisers he's actually boycotting. You know,
none.
People.
No, it's just somebody that hates me.
Yeah.
You know, or I said something that pissed somebody off, so they just wanted to, you know, be mean, be rude, and get me back, and they did.
You know, there's a lot to be said for public discourse, and obviously everyone has their own opinion. But you wonder where where it gets to, you know, somebody ruining your business on Yelp just because they
right.
don't like you.
Yeah,
you know.
And I'm sure that's happened.
Oh, absolutely,
you know, more
yeah.
than once.
Yeah,
and but I don't know. You kind of look at the only time Yelp I really use or Google reviews is a restaurant. I won't really judge it if it's like a clothing store or something like that.
Sure.
That's just you've had a bad experience at the shop or
yeah.
whatever. But I worry about I will look at food. Like, I'm worried the food's going to be bad. If it's two stars, I don't want to get sick.
Yeah, I think Yelp is, most people use Yelp primarily for food. And I also get I get press releases every day that are like, it's Yelp for sighting. Like, somebody's got a new website out, you know. It's Yelp for ice skates. I don't want to rate ice skates.
No.
Why are you even sending me this?
Some of the stuff, too. Windex has a Twitter account.
Yeah, that's always cracked
why?
Me up.
Why? Well, for what? And honestly, they have like 3,000 followers, which is more than me, and that bothers me.
That's nutty.
Intensely. Why?
Some brands commit to it. They carry it off. They build a personality and a voice, and they have fun with their customers. But yeah, like, I don't know why. I have Facebook friends who have liked Red Lobster.
Yeah.
Like, why?
What for?
Yeah, everybody sort of likes it. It's fine. It's good. You know,
it's fine.
You're like Red Lobster, Walmart super fans. It's just, it's very strange.
And you're just saying, yes, please send me advertising whenever you want.
Yeah.
You're signing up
yeah.
for junk mail electronically. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But even people who do like shows and stuff that have accounts for their show, what for? Aren't you your show? Just have your own account. Put your stuff out through your account.
I want to have to juggle two accounts.
Yeah.
And
right.
one's me and my personal stuff, and one's my brand. But I'm always going to forget which one I'm on and post the wrong thing
mm-hmm.
to the wrong channel
mm-hmm.
because it makes me feel alive.
I always like that stomach when your stomach just drops into your balls. And then, yeah, you got to deal with that
Shh.
Feeling. Yeah.
Put that on the wrong account.
Yep, it happens. It does.
I have retweeted you thinking I was retweeting from the CL
account.
I was
like,
retweeting
nice.
From my personal
Scott,
account.
Scott's helping me out. Thanks, Scott. And then I got to take it back. I was like, oh, what the hey? But yeah, that does happen. Jeez. So I guess we'll finish up with the CL podcast. I'm the producer now, which is very exciting,
and
of the Creative Loafing podcast.
Thank you very much for all of your help. You've really helped us out. We You know, we get so busy, some of the peripheral stuff sometimes falls down on the priority list, and consistently having a podcast was a big priority of mine, and you really helped us pick the ball back up and run with it, and I appreciate that.
No doubt, no doubt. So, I mean, obviously we're going to put this on the CL podcast feed, but we're also going to put this on my feed. What can people expect on the CL podcast?
Well, it's called The Clap, and it's mostly about the things that we're covering online and in the issue of that week. But we also get into arguments about the Kardashians.
Mm-hmm. I was privy to that one. It was intense. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a sort of a combination of pertinent events, current local events, and inane ramblings. And sometimes we taste food that or beer that people send us.
Delicious. Also, I was privy to that as well. There's perks to this gig.
There are definitely perks, but they never send enough. They just send you just a taste.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And mine is called The Homemade Broadcast, HMBRadio.com. I cover life, arts, and music. I usually have a guest every week that comes in. On occasion, I'll have somebody bail on me, and I have to do one by myself, which is just painful. But
you pull it off well, though.
Thanks. You know, it's the good thing about podcasting is you can stop and pause and, you know, think about it a little bit and then come back to it. But, you know, for a 45-minute podcast, it can sometimes be just hours of labor.
Could you imagine if you just had to push record and you were just required to fill 45 minutes straight with no forethought or preparation?
I've seen Drew Garabo do 6-8 hours of radio a day, and I'm just like, wow. That's, I mean, you have breaks in between, so at least you have that, but I'd like to think that I can do that, and I probably could if I was forced to, but I don't think I could do it with the ease and elegance that many years of broadcasting.
Yeah, that comes with time. That's a muscle you build and then flex, for sure. Mm-hmm.
So I usually have a guest every week, and somebody in the community that, you know, comedians, artists, and maybe people that are flying under the radar a little bit that you don't maybe won't hear about at other resources. So that's what I try to do. It releases Tuesdays at 6 a.m. every week at hmbradio.com. You can check it out. And if you're interested in starting a podcast, I can help. Homemadepodcast.com is that website. Do like media consulting and producing podcasts and all that.
We can vouch.
Thank you. All right, Scott, thanks for coming in. CL Tampa on Twitter, is that correct?
CL_Tampa Bay is the Twitter handle.
And then is your Instagram the same? It's different, isn't it?
That's just CL Tampa Bay.
You got to make them the same.
I know.
You got to get parody.
Believe
there.
Me, I've been trying to get.
So much easier that way. Yeah. All right.
It's a whole mess. It's a whole thing.
I feel you. Oh, I got underscores in mine. I get teased mercilessly about my underscores, but it's home_made_man. That's how you can find me on Twitter and Instagram, hmbradio.com and homemadepodcast.com. Scott, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
All right. There you go. Scott Harrell, Creative Loafing Tampa, cltampa.com, cltampa.com/podcast. If you want help with your podcast, I know a guy. That's all I'm saying. Homemadepodcast.com and 813-693-2124. Questions, concerns. If you need help with your podcast, hit me up right on that line. You can leave a voicemail, text message. I will get it and I will return it. Stickers, I still got them. Email me, thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com, and I will send some out to you post haste, free of charge. I'll foot the bill for the sticker action to get them to you. Subscribe to this podcast if you haven't. HMB Radio Tampa Bay. And, you know, Google Play, iTunes. You know what I'm talking about. You know podcasts by now. You know where to get them. So subscribe, keep up, and visit HMBRadio.com. Facebook.com/HMBRadio. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Home_made_man. You can find me. It's easy enough. I'm happy to talk to you. This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, make sure that you stay tuned because Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next. I met Frank last week at the Radio St. Pete meetup. Great guy. Fun guy. I apologized to him for having me as his lead-in because he actually produces a quality program. And people like that one. I can't say the same for mine with everybody, but Frank does a good show. Indie Circuit coming up after that at 10, if you're listening on a Sunday. And if you're listening on podcasts, thanks a whole bunch. I really do appreciate it. Tell a friend. Spread the word, you know? HMBRadio.com. My name is Will Koontz. This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Okay, I'm going. All right, goodbye.
Thank you.